The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Ooh, China John.
That's right.
Every day, we are force-fed a diet of untruths and propaganda. When we fight back to preserve our right to make our own informed decisions, we take back control of our lives. Welcome to Awaken the Sleeper with your host, Dr. Nick Castellano. It's time to set the record straight on what the government, the news media, technology, politics, and the energy sector are all about. Now, here is your host, Dr. Nick Castellano.
This is Dr. Nick Castellano along with Andrew Hoagland at awakenthesleeper.com. And what we're doing here is talking about identity. Last week we discussed identity. We talked about 80% of your identity was already formed, but by the time you were 5 years old, we talked about that you're never going to believe or know your why until you know your I. And that you only maintain wealth in your life based on your value of self in your life. And that was proven a lot of times by these lottery winners that they win the lottery, win $40 million, and 3 years later they're more broke than they were before they won the lottery. And they've also don't have a wife, and the kids have estranged them. And
it's the worst thing that happened.
Worst thing that ever happened was winning that lottery. And then some of the things we also talked about was the I am statement, utilizing the Clifton StrengthFinder test. And that was, we gave the website on that Clifton StrengthFinder test and made it available to everyone. And we also talked about the top five strengths that I had. Mine were strategic, belief, responsibility, learner, and communicator. And with those top five strengths, I created an I am statement out of that, which was a powerful tool, because that I am statement helps me when I'm going through a tough time. I just read the I am statement out loud to myself, and that I am statement kind of gets me back on even keel again and reminds me who I am and that I'm probably not having to carry the weight of the world on me. Just take care of what I can take care of, which is me. So it really helps. It's a great tool. And we recommended that you take this Clifton StrengthFinder test, because so much of the world today focuses on what they're not, trying to make it mediocre instead of taking their top five strengths of what they are and making it excellent. And then finding and creating a purpose within that excellence of what they are, so that every day when they go and they go to work, they love what they do instead of going to a J-O-B just over broke, resenting what they do, hating Mondays, rejoicing on Fridays just so they can have another beer, and then regretting the fact that Sunday night, Monday's coming the next morning.
Yeah. And that website for the Strength Finder, we posted on our Facebook page. So connect with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Dr. Nick Castellano. So that's DR for Dr. DR Nick Castellano. Connect with us. Check out that link. Purchase the Strength Finder and go through it. It takes about 30 minutes, right?
30 minutes takes
$10.
$9.99.
Yeah. It's worth every penny.
So, and we also talked about that, you know, you also have the ability to change instances in your life. Because most of your programming happened by the time you're five, you may have superimposed a five-year-old's representation of what went on in a certain case or scenario. Maybe dad yelled at you, mom yelled at you, called you a name that they didn't even know they called you. And you've already carried it with you for the rest of your life, and now you're 45 years old still carrying that burden of what mommy and daddy called you when you were five. And you have the ability to go back and redefine what really happened, and once you redefine it, the power that that event had over you is gone, and you've released that power that that event had over you, and then you can move on to the greatness that you are. And that's a powerful tool, that we don't have to stay in that one spot and carry that weight that's probably not even true, and usually the father and the mother don't even remember they said it.
Yeah, we look at our past, and we formulate our future decisions based upon what happened in the past. And the problem with that is our reality of what happened in the past is probably not true.
And then we're destined to repeat the past over and over and over again, even if it's not beneficial to us to repeat the past.
Yeah.
That's why it's Jewish mothers are powerful women, because all they ever talk about to their kids is how amazing they are as they grow up. They're the most amazing thing. They're great. They're awesome. And you know what? They start to believe that, and they become so. So who controls the wealth in the world? Well, the Jewish people control most of the wealth, and that's because they believe in themselves, and they believe their I am.
Yeah, you're getting told it over and over and over and over and over, whether it's good or bad. You get ingrained in your mind, and that's what the power of the I am statement is, to force you to change that.
That's right.
To like believe a new way.
Brainwashing yourself back to the way you're supposed to be.
On purpose.
On purpose. That's exactly right. You're brainwashing yourself on purpose, because there is no benefit to thinking I'm a loser, or bad things happen to me all the time, or something good happened, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Let's not think that way. Let's think that something always good happens to you.
Yeah. And so last week we talked about putting the I am statement on a CD so that you can listen to it, or MP3 in your iPod or on your smartphone, having yourself read your own I am statement. And then Nick talked about the alpha theta waves. Just wanted to mention that the alpha theta waves, you can get those from Brainwave Sweeps.
Brainwave Sweets, and it's they're sold at Borders and Barnes & Nobles in the CD department.
Yep. So you can take those and kind of put the alpha theta waves in the background and have your I am statement read by yourself in the foreground, as it were.
And it's a powerful tool. And the reason you use alpha theta again is because it bypasses your conscious mind and goes straight into your subconscious, where you can actually do some changing of your poor programming, if you will. So that's kind of, we also did a little bit of talking on race and genetics, and to say there really is only one race, and it's the human race. And the genetics of between black, white, Asian, Native American, the difference in genetics is 0.0001%. And most of the changes that we see externally, well, one is because we want to be able to tell one person from another, and two, it's just because of the environment that they live in. If they grew up in a hot environment or an African environment, they're going to have darker skin because for UV protection. And if they grew up in an environment where there's less sun, they're going to have lighter skin so they can absorb more vitamin D.
Yeah.
So there's a reason for everything. And it's not a genetic difference. It's just an environmental pressure difference.
But we take those differences and superimpose them over our identity. We make those things our I am statement, if you were.
That's right. Especially, usually we put ourselves in the category that's the smallest category. For example, if you were gay, the first thing you say is, you won't say you're a part of the human race and you're an engineer. You'll say, happen to be black, you would be a gay black engineer and part of the human race.
Yeah, you'd start with the smallest. You
start with the smallest and work your way up. Or if you're a gay Christian, you'd be a gay black Christian engineer and part of the human race.
Yeah.
So we usually take the smallest, because that separates us from everyone else and make that our core identity.
Yeah, if that may or may not be helpful. If it is, make it part of your I am statement, and if it's not, get rid of it.
But typically that which separates us makes us weak. And that's a great way, is that we focus on ourselves, and we're so myopic in our own me, my, I attitudes that we end up only caring about ourselves, and that naturally separates us from the cares of what's going on with our brother or the guy across the street or the guy over there, and we only worry about our own self. Anyway, this week we're going to get into a little bit of different thing. We're going to change the energy a little bit. We're going to get into a little bit of something that tripled my business in 1 year, and I know, Drew, you started using it in your business as well, and it has to do with body language and mirroring and matching and things like that. It's really what I call it is the way to establish a common union, because communication means the process of finding a common union, and the goal in communication is to find some way that you link up with the other person and use that as common ground so that you can communicate what you've got to them in a way that they best receive it.
Yeah, so we're going to go through some scientific stuff here. So I just want to remind everybody, if you have any questions, connect with us on Facebook, Dr. Nick Castellano on Facebook, or email us, Nick@nickcastellano.com. And Castellano is Castellano. Or call in 866-472-5788. We'd love to hear from you. Love to take your questions and answer them. And after the break is when we cover the questions. So after the first break here, coming up in a few minutes, 10 minutes or so, then we're going to dive into questions from last week and anything new this week.
So some of the keys, why we tripled, and we used the same sales team. We had the same sales team we always had, and yet our sales went up 300%, and with the same sales team, and our profit margin went up 300% as well. With the same outgo of wealth, we increased our income by 300%, and this was all due to one little tool, which was this learning what people were saying when they weren't saying it with words, because we learned that so few or so little of communication is done through the spoken word. 10% of communication is done through the spoken word. That's why you got to be careful when you're texting someone, because in a text, all it says, texting is really for information. It's not really for relationship. And in a text, all you have is the words, and luckily you have LOLs and a smiley face or something like that, thank God. But what you tend to do is when you receive a text from somebody and you see those words, you superimpose most likely the emotion you're having on that text. So a lot of times you'll hear, you'll send a text out very innocently, and what'll come back is, why are you so angry at me? I'm not angry at you. Why did you think I was angry at you? Because I said this. And that's because they superimposed their emotion on that text. So be careful with texting. Only use texting for a way to create transfer information, not so much a way to create a relationship.
Yeah, you can't. It's next to impossible outside of little smiley faces to transmit emotion. You know, it's great to say, hey, I'll meet you here at 10:30, but to communicate with somebody emotionally, it's next to impossible.
And that's one of the things that the younger generation does. I mean, this is what they do. This is how they communicate now. And because of that, they have a tendency to isolate a bit. And, you know, the only way I could talk to my son for the longest time was through texting. I'd have to learn his language, and his language was texting. If I call him, he'd never pick up that phone. But if I text him, he'd text and turn that text around in 25 seconds.
Yeah.
So then the other thing is vocal tonality. 30% of what we do is the way we communicate is through vocal tonality. And vocal tonality is like if someone is speaking in a whisper, everybody kind of listens a little closer. What are they saying? What are they talking about me? I don't know. But if somebody's talking loud, pretty soon you just turn it off. You just turn the cue off. You're not even listening to them any longer, really.
Yeah, the noise.
Yeah, exactly, the noise. But if they're whispering, you start to whisper. And the last and probably the most important way in which you can see what someone is really saying is through facial and body expressions. And facial and body expressions are a great way of saying, and we're going to go through those today, a great way of seeing what someone's saying without the words coming out of their mouth. Let's see if I just stepped on a landmine. Let's see if I just said something bad. Let's see if I just lost the customer. Let's see if I just lost my friend, and I'm not resonating with him any longer. But one of the keys to communication, and we have a tendency to lose this, even when we're face-to-face, is being there. Being in that now moment, actually not looking for the next dude that walks in the room or the next lady that walks in the room, actually communicating, because so much communication is with resonance. You feel each other. You know, you have guys that'll walk into a room and they have this, I don't know, this look in their eye, and you just feel the energy coming off of them, and someone will say, who is that that just came in? Now, the guy didn't say a word. He didn't look any different. He just walked into the room, but everybody went, whoa. Who is that guy? And in essence saying, who is that amazing guy? He feels, look at it, the confidence. He feels something. I need to know who that guy is. And then the same thing can be said when somebody's in a bad place and you go, hey, how you doing? Rough day, huh? Okay. And not one word was exchanged. And all that was due to facial and body language and
resonance.
The energy.
Yeah, you can just tell, especially with someone you know really well, your wife or spouse or significant other, you can just tell, hey, I can tell you had a bad day, but you didn't even say anything.
Exactly. You didn't say a word. And then you got to do the old, what's really wrong? Now we're in search of the real problem, and you're just praying to God it's not you. Please don't let it be me. I can't handle it if it's me again. What did I step on? What did I mess up? And I don't even know I messed up.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But, you know, what's cool about this is I do a lot of work overseas, and I'm going to be going to Australia here shortly. And the thing that's cool about working overseas, I work in China, I work in Japan, I work in Syria, I work in all these different countries. And the truth of body language and voice tonality is the same no matter where you go. So I almost know what they're saying, even though I can't understand a word they're saying. Because you can read the body, you can read them, you can read their tonality, you can tell if they're angry, you can tell if they're upset, you can kind of tell where the conversation's going, yet you don't understand a word they're saying. So one of the keys to helping with this when you're talking to someone in another country is by actually mirroring their tonalities and matching their tonalities, because we're trying to develop something called rapport. And rapport, a little analogy for rapport, a little mnemonic for rapport would be, really all people prefer others resembling themselves. They like them, and they hope that you talk like them, and they hope that you are friend to them. And you're going to be a friend to them if you look like them, if you sound like them, and if you talk like them, then they like you, and they don't even know why they like you.
Yeah.
And this is one of the greatest keys to increasing sales is rapport, establishing a rapport.
Yeah, matching their energy level, as it were.
So we've got we're going to get into that after the break. We're going to get into the questions and answers from last week. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pick this up and get into detail about how do we read body language, how do we read facial expressions, how do we read tonality, and then how do we mirror and match that so that we can actually make a difference and really get them what they need. That's what we're doing in communication, giving them what they need from us in a way they best receive it. So we're going to take a little break now, and then we're going to come right back. Thank you.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America Business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business talk.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Come on in, gentlemen.
You are tuned in to Awaken the Sleeper. To reach Dr. Nick Castellano or his guest, please call in live to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to nick@nc2.biz. Now, back to Awaken the Sleeper.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Nick Castellano with Andrew Hoagland. And in this section of the show, we're going to go ahead and answer some questions from last week. from the training we did on identity and the teaching we did on identity, and see what our audience had to say and what questions they might have had on that.
Great. So, again, just a reminder, you can connect with us and send us questions, facebook.com/Dr. Nick Castellano, or just look up Awaken the Sleeper just in your search bar on Facebook, Awaken the Sleeper, you'll find us. Or you can send us an email question, nick@nickcastellano.com. We check those emails all the time. Take a look at them. Of course, you can always call in 866-472-5788. The first question we want to go over is from Ted. This is an interesting question, I felt. He said, you mentioned focusing on the end result, not on the process. But I've always heard the opposite. The journey is most important. How would you respond?
Well, the end result is the focus of the how to get to the end result. Like, give me an example of what the end result would be.
If my goal in life is, hey, I want to have increase my relationship with my family, let's say.
Okay, so you want to increase your relationship. So you've got a vision board created with these pictures of you and your family doing fun things together, and you've got happiness, and you see everybody smiling and that kind of stuff, and you're focusing on that all the time, and that's the end result, is a great relationship with my family. But the process is living in the now moment, every moment you can get there. Now moment process is really difficult because we are so programmed as a people to live in a place of regret of yesterday and fear of tomorrow. And we miss the power we have in this now moment. But the only way that we can establish what we're trying to do is in this now moment. So we have to be where we're at. Instead of letting our mind take us back to some old time and then we repeat the old time again, or forward to some scary place that we don't know about, we have to learn how to be now. But when we see our vision board, we see it, we're calling it the future, we see what it's going to look like when everything is the way it is, and we put it in our mind that that's the way it's supposed to be and that's the way it's going to be and that's it.
And I think part of the problem, you know, using that analogy is that, you know, if I said, hey, this is the vision, this is the thing I want. I want a better relationship with my wife. And then I decide, in order to do that, we have to go on date night every Friday night. We have to do these other three steps in order to get to the end result. And so I get hung up on the A, B, C, D steps that I've decided in my mind is the best way to get to the end, as opposed to, I'm going to get to the end. I'm going to focus on getting to the end. And, you know, if I don't do these steps, you know, I can do a different set. I think I find that in my own life, that I get focused on, you know, I have a plan.
Right.
I have an end result in mind. I have a goal, let's say, for my business. I want to increase sales. I have an end result, and I also develop a plan.
Right.
These are my
That's good.
These are my 12 steps I'm going to take.
But the problem with the plan is the plan has got to be flexible.
Right. I get, hey, this isn't part of the plan, so I don't want to do it.
That's right.
And that's the problem.
And
people
you throw
run
out the most amazing thing that would have happened for your company because it doesn't line up with the plan that you created. And you got to remember, you created that plan as a man without the money you wanted to have, and you have this great plan for this great wealthy business, but you created it based on where you were then. So maybe, just maybe, it's going to have to be a plan that's a little different than the one that you created. And that's the success is, don't tell the universe how it's going to be done. Just know in your heart that it is going to be done. Don't tell God how it's going to be done. Just know in your heart that it's going to get done.
Yeah, and I think specifically to Ted's question, you know, what we would say is that you are focusing on the journey, but in focusing on the journey, you're focused in the now moment.
Exactly.
I want this end result in the now moment.
And I, you know, I'm going to take a little aside here. In my own personal life, we had this house we bought up in Los Angeles, was about a $2.5 million home. And my wife had grown up in a place where, you know, they had a little teeny house and they didn't have a giant home, and it was way out of her box. And so what we had to do, now we couldn't get this loan. For some reason, this loan wouldn't go through on this house. So what we had to do is we would go up into the place where they were building the house and set chairs up there and just sit there every evening and just sit some chairs up and look out over the, you know, we were up high in Los Angeles and we'd look down into the valley and look at the beautiful views. And then after about 2.5 weeks, she says, I could live here. Now, once she said I could live here, she started resonating with this place. Her eye grew to the place where she could actually be in that place. And then when that happened, the coolest thing happened. The next day, we got the loan.
Yeah.
Because she could now let it happen.
Yeah, she was ready to receive it. She was able to visualize herself there. It's so important.
Right. Like people that want wealth, go hang out with wealthy people. You know, go hang out where they hang out. Like in the Phoenix area, there's the Scottsdale area or the Paradise Valley area. You go to the Phoenician. You go to the Monte Lucia. You go to those nice hotels and hang out in the lobby. And you got a different energy. And when once you're comfortable with that energy that you feel there and you become part of that energy, now watch how wealth can come into your life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good question, Ted. Next question comes from Keith. When you talk about an I am statement and focusing on the outcome, you sound like you agree with the movie or book, The Secret. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, it's a little bit more to it than The Secret. The Secret kind of makes it sound like if you can think it, it can be. And that's kind of true, but there's a process of growth that goes along with that. Because I've heard there's Christians out there from the old claim it, or what are they?
Name it, claim it,
Christians I've heard before, that if they can just name it, then it's theirs. But they don't believe that in their heart. And we talked about the heart brain and how that's the most powerful thing. So what you've got to really do is change your subconscious, change your belief system deep, deep inside so that you can actually receive that thing. So it's not so much just what The Secret said. It's that these people actually believe that they're worthy and able to receive this stuff. They're allowed to. And because they believe they're allowed and then they expect they should, they do.
Yeah. And that's where the tools that we talk about come in. The 5 R's, the I am statement, the vision board. I mean, those things are so important. You know, when I watched the movie The Secret, I came away from saying, okay, just believe it, do it. With no how-to.
Exactly. And that's why we're so focused on the how-to steps of doing these things. And it's just like, I read a book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Great book, awesome book. But the dude was broke. And the dude was broke when he wrote the book. But he hung out with some of the most wealthy people and the most visionary people in the world. But without a how-to step, it isn't going to happen. And that's what we need nowadays is more how do I do that? How do I reprogram myself? And just because someone made wealth a certain way doesn't mean you're going to make wealth that exact same way. Your way is going to be completely different because your strengths are completely different. So don't poo-poo the way that you're going to do it. If you're passionate about it, you're excited about it, that's the way for you.
Yeah, definitely. Great question. The next question comes from Colleen. How many I am's do I need in my statement? And how did you pick the ending? For example, I am X. I understand it's correlated with the strength finder, but can you help a little bit?
Sure. What I do is I correlate it or relate it to my life itself, but the I am's I use, and I am for each of my strengths. And I may expound on that strength a little bit to include 2 I am's for each strength. But the point is, does it resonate with you? Is it really something you can start to believe because this is the way you show up. Like for me, I know no defeat because I'm strategic. I will come up with a solution no matter what. I will come up with a solution. My check, if you will, is to make sure that I don't come up with a solution at the pain of others so that I leave bodies bleeding behind me as I hold my hands up in victory and there's nobody around me because I've stomped on them to get to the place I wanted to get. So your greatest strength is your greatest weakness, but there is no set number of I am's.
Okay.
I just try to incorporate my 5 top strengths into my I am and then maybe what I'm actually trying to achieve in this.
Yeah, I took my 5 strengths and then pinged in there some of my goals.
You know,
I am a loving father, loving husband, those types of things.
I am wealthy. I am healthy. You know, you can always throw those extra IMs in because, without health, it don't matter how much wealth you got.
Right. Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah. Good question, Colleen. This one is a new one, just came in from Dan. You mentioned a vision board, but have never talked about it before. Can you elaborate?
Did we not talk about the
same? I think he's right.
Oh. Well, I guess we're going to have to bring that up on a show on how to set up a vision board, because a vision board is a very important thing. And a vision board is basically, it can be done in many, many different ways, and you can even Google how to put a vision board together. But the point about a vision board that makes it powerful is it is a picture Because as we talked about, you know, when you think a thought, it creates a mental picture in your head. Well, when you've already got a picture on a vision board, you can see that picture. Now you've got that mental picture. Now there's an emotion attached to the picture you see on the vision board. Hopefully it's a good emotion. Then the hypothalamus releases neuropeptides of that good emotion, and you key locks in every cell of your body, and you resonate at a high frequency. That's good. That's what you want to do. So it's kind of a cheat, if you will, to keep making sure that you go ahead and vibrate at that high frequency, to keep making sure that you create the emotion in your life that you want, so that you can attract more of that, more of those events that create that emotion in your life.
Yeah, and at its base core, a vision board is just, you know, a poster board where you find pictures that match up with your either your I am statement, your goals, the things that you're pushing towards, and you post those up and have them available so that you can see them, and that vision of the thing connects. And you start resonating with it.
My vision board, is posted on my bathroom wall. So when I get up and I'm brushing my teeth, there's the vision board looking right at me. Every morning I look at my vision board. Every evening I look at my vision board. And you can break it up into family, business, personal goals. However you want to break it up, all of it's right. Because it's your vision board. Whatever you want to do with it, it's right. Take magazines, cut out pictures that resonate with you, that where you want to be, what you want to do, and you'll create an awesome vision board for you.
Yeah. Well, thanks to everybody for those questions. Just a reminder, send us your questions. Connect with us on Facebook. You can search on Facebook, Awaken the Sleeper, or just go to facebook.com/drnickcastellano. So that's Dr. Nick Castellano, and connect with us. Of course, you can email us, nick@nickcastellano.com. So as we start the next segment, we're going to start on the science of facial expressions.
Yeah, okay. We'll get into face. Let me get into body first before we get into face.
Okay.
I'm going to get into body because a lot of us know a little bit about the body and how to read the body. But the first part of the body that we like to look at is the eyes. And when we see someone's eyes and the eyes are wide open, well, what does that usually mean to us? Drew, do you have any idea when the eyes are wide open? It means you're letting in.
You're looking at stuff.
You're looking, but you're letting in more information. You see, like say a bomb goes off or you hear a big explosion. What happens to your eyes? Boom! Where do I got to go? What do I got to do? How do I got to get out of here? Yeah. Your eyes are wide open.
Fight or flight.
Fight or flight mode. But if your eyes are squinted and narrowed, you're not letting information in. Maybe somebody, a sales dude's telling you something and you go, I don't know if I'm buying that one. So you're not letting in a whole bunch of information because you're not sure you're believing what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're screening every word he's saying. Then if you're looking up and to the right, you're remembering. Looking down, you're lying or you're telling emotion. But we'll get into that a lot deeper when we start doing facial. Now, when you're reading a body, you read from the bottom up. So in other words, you read the legs and then the arms. So if the right leg is over the left leg, that means that person is now intellectually closed. They're not really receiving what you got for them on an intellectual level. They're closed intellectually. And now, does that mean they're doing it on purpose? No. It just means maybe that's a comfortable position. But your job as a sales dude is to get them into an open position, or your job as a communicator is to get them into an open position. So that's where the tool mirroring comes in, and we'll talk about that in a little bit.
So now, crossing their legs, you said right over left, it's
intellectually closed.
Intellectually closed. So it's basically, you know, a subconscious crossing of the arms almost.
Right. If they're receiving, a lot of times when you'll watch people and someone's telling them a new thing, they'll go, and the right leg will go over the left leg because I'm not taking that into my subconscious. You can't get that into me. I'm closing myself off right now. But however, if it's the left leg over the right leg, you're emotionally closing yourself.
Okay.
So, and that's a difficult place for me to go. I'm not as physically fit as I should be to do the left over the right. Right over the left, I can do pretty good. Left over the right's not very natural for me.
So you're always emotionally open then?
I guess I am. Being Italian and passionate, I'm ready to cry in a heartbeat. I don't know. Or yell.
Either one.
One of them. Somebody's going to get whacked somewhere, or I'm going to need a tissue. But the ideal position for receiving information, and this is something you can work on for yourself when you go to when you're going to some kind of a seminar or something, 2 feet on the floor in an open position, legs apart slightly, because then you're receiving the information. You're letting the information come in. And that's a key. So if you really want to get this information into you, what you've got to do is be in the right body position to receive this information.
And once you know this and you're, like you said, at a seminar or listening to someone talk and you notice that you're – I mean, I notice myself doing it a lot. I'll shift positions in my chair and I'll cross my legs a certain way and I'll think, what am I doing? Am I – you're subconsciously – you know, blocking out the information.
And that's natural for intellectual people because they already know everything.
And I got to fact check everything you said.
That's
so
right.
I'm not receiving that right.
That's right. I'm not receiving that right now because you might be smart, but I'm the smartest man on this planet. So I'm going to not receive this, but I'll check it later and maybe I'll open up then and receive it.
Yeah. But I've also noticed that sometimes I will do that because I'm not in the now. So I'm with somebody and I'll block myself off because I'm not even listening to what they're saying. I'm thinking of something else and that's what I'm blocking off.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So, and we've also got arms. Now, that's the next thing that we'd read. We'd read on a person's body. So we've read their legs. We're going from the bottom up. Then we read their arms. But what we're going to do first is we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get into the arms and into the mouth, and then we're going to talk about tonalities, and then hopefully we get enough time to get into the face itself. And if we don't have that time, we're going to continue that on the next show because I got to give you an awesome tool, a sales tool called the Truth Funnel that'll really help you out. Okay, so we're going to take a break now, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Thank you.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business talk.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Come on in, gentlemen.
You are tuned in to Awaken the Sleeper. To reach Dr. Nick Castellano or his guest, please call in live to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to nick@nc2.biz. Now, back to Awaken the Sleeper.
Okay, we're back. Dr. Nick Castellano, Andrew Holguin. And we're talking a little bit about body language and how to read what someone's saying. That's not the how-to. First, we're going to read them, but then we got to get them into a place where they can receive it, and that's the important thing. So what we're going to talk about now is arms, and we were just mentioning that. If your right arm is over your left arm, then you're intellectually closed. And if your left arm is over your right arm, you're emotionally closed.
So same as the legs.
Same as the legs. And if your arms are open or on your lap, you're listening. You're actually receiving the information that's being put in front of you. Now, when you're looking at the mouth, and this is a – if you see their upper teeth, they're not really listening. They're giving information. They're giving information. If you know, I came from a big Italian family, and really no one was listening to anybody.
Just waiting for a breath.
They're waiting for you to breathe, Jack. And when you breathe, they're going to have a pearl of wisdom that's so amazing. What they didn't realize is, you know, you ain't listening to them either because you're waiting for them to breathe so you can interject your pearl. So no one's listening and everybody's talking and there's really no communication going on at all.
But great wisdom everywhere.
Oh, great wisdom as proposed by self. Now, if you see your lower teeth, then the person is listening. They're listening. Like you'll see their mouth just open a little bit and you see their lower teeth. They're listening to what you've got to say. They're receiving the information in. If you see both the upper and lower teeth, that's a conversation. They're communicating with you. They're giving you information. You're giving them information. So that's basically you read from the bottom up. You read the eyes. You read the legs. You read the arms. You read the mouth. And you can start to feel where this person's at. Now, one technique, because we know they're not receiving anything intellectually, and if you're trying to get them some information that you think can really help them, and they're got their right leg over their left leg and their right arm over their left arm, what you can do is mirror and match them. Now, what happens is you look just like them. You put your right leg over your left leg. You put your right arm over your left arm. You look just like them. And you guys are having a regular conversation back and forth, and nobody's receiving anything. And then as you talk more and more and more, and here's the key, make sure your tonality is just like their tonality. And then here's another key. Listen to the words they use. Are they saying, you know what I feel? You know, I'm really feeling that. Okay, they're a feeler. Use your feel language. Now maybe they're, and most people in the industry I deal in use this language, think. You know, I think that. So you use think language. But if you're a thinker as a sales dude or as a guy trying to get someone information and they're a feeler and you're talking think language and they're talking feel language, you're not communicating.
Yeah.
If your wife is saying, I feel, honey, I feel, and you're saying, well, I think, you're not communicating with her. Listen. Because listening is the key to communication. So, and you've heard it a bazillion times. That's why you got two ears and one mouth, right?
Yeah.
You listen twice as much as you hear, as you speak. So, and there's actually a difference between listening and hearing. We can hear all day long, but we're not listening until we're actually grasping the concept.
Yeah. And the key here is to make that common union so that you can communicate with somebody.
That's right. And it's trying to maybe aid somebody. Because if you're a sales guy, you're not selling them something just to make yourself a buck. You're selling them something because you believe in the quality of this product, that this is going to help them. And if you're selling something just to make a buck,
stop it. Stop.
You can't fake it. Because then you know what customers become? A mark. They're just a mark. They're just a thing. And you don't think they can feel that they're just a thing. As soon as the dude comes in with something 2 cents less a pound than what you've got, they're buying his stuff because they have no relationship with you. What we're talking about is establishing a rapport. So tonality is key. When I was in Japan and I'm doing a presentation in Japan, I don't speak Japanese, but I speak like Japanese. See, Japanese, hodo, wada, zizodo, ho. That's how I talk. So what I'm going to tell you is this is how we work the oil wells here in Japan. And they're going, and they like me. And they don't know why they like me. But when I'm in China, I don't talk like that because Chinese talk like, more of a song. And so when I talk in China, I talk more like this so that they like me, but they don't know why they like me. So I make myself sound like them. I make myself look like them. I would never hug a man in China. But if I'm in Brazil, I better hug the dude.
Yeah.
But in China, they have this force field around them. You don't do that. You don't just, so know the ways, know their ways and know what.
Wasn't there a book that helped you a lot with that?
Yeah, it was a book called Kiss, Bow, and Shake. And it tells you about every business aspect of every country in the world and how to make sure you don't step on a landmine quite by accident. Like, for example, when I'm in Saudi Arabia and I'm working with Aramco, you make sure that you don't show the bottom of your feet to the person across from you. In other words, you don't cross your legs. Because if they see the bottom of your foot or the bottom of your shoe, that is the dirtiest thing you could show them, and that shows you have no respect for them. It's a disrespectful act.
Okay.
But one of the weirdest things, Prince Abdulaziz, luckily I had studied before I went, he grabs my hand as we're walking, and we walk hand in hand like boyfriend and girlfriend. That was a great honor because he's saying, you're equal to me. He's not saying, I find you attractive.
Yeah, it's not a sexual love thing at all.
No, he was saying, you're equal to me. Walk with me, please. Walk hand in hand with me. And so I allowed that to happen. In Japan, the owner of Ozzy Oil, I walked two steps behind him. Now, this guy was only 4'11", 5' max top. But I think his chest stuck out about 5', too, because he was about the proudest man in the world. And when I walked 2 feet behind him, or two steps behind him, he was so excited that this giant American respected him enough to let him lead the way.
Yeah, it's key knowing those subtle differences in the culture.
So mirroring and matching. And what you do then, like I was explaining, so now you're all closed up like they are, and you've got your arms over your arms and your legs over your legs, and you're looking just like them, and you're speaking just like them, and you're speaking the feel language or the think language or the see language, which is another language. You know what I see? That visionaries usually have that language. I see. Well, you better speak see language. And anyway, now that you got all that working, take your arms and unfold them. And it's almost as if you're in charge of the other person. That other person will subconsciously unfold their arms, uncross their legs, and begin to look like you because you've established now a rapport. And really, all people prefer others resembling themselves. There's an invisible energy stream now between you and that person, and you're lined up. And so now they're going to look just like you. Now that they're in that open position, now give them the information you have because now they can receive it. Important, they got to be in a body position to receive the information before you just start spewing the information. Okay, sit back, 30 minutes, don't ask a question. When I'm done, you can ask all the questions. You're not going to make a lot of sales doing it that way.
They didn't hear a single word you said.
No, they heard, they didn't listen to any of it.
Right.
So I think that's a real key, sales guys or counselors or people. If you really want to communicate, then you've got to learn how to communicate in a way that someone receives it. Teachers, professors, stop talking over the student's head. Everybody knows you're brilliant. You're a professor. You got a DR in front of your name. Yahoo for you. But true teaching comes when they can understand what the heck you're talking about.
Yeah.
I had some of my greatest teachers in the world in the Navy nuclear power program. There was so brilliant. They would teach the concept in a layman's term, and then they would show you how you were supposed to know it. Like, for example, there's a term cavitation in a pump. When a pump actually starts to get air bubbles in it and it starts to destroy the impeller blade of a centrifugal pump, and the term cavitation means that bubbles are starting to form in the middle of the impeller blade, and they go out to the end and they explode down, and it destroys the impeller blade because the pressure goes up at the end of the impeller blade and it collapses it, and it actually puts dents in the impeller blade. It's such a catastrophic failure and it's such a big event. So he'd say, so that's what's happening. And then he'd go, so you would say with a great deal of authority, the formation and subsequent collapse of vapor bubbles, did the pressure system drop and blow and rising above saturation pressure at that temperature? Exactly so. So he showed me, he taught us the concept, and then he said, and this is how you got to know it. You know, REM, we understood REM, that was the amount of radiation you receive, a person would receive. But he would say, that amount of any type of radiation do the same biological damage as that done by absorbing 100 ergs of extra gamma radiation per gram of soft body tissue. So when you're a professor, when you're a teacher, when you're a dad, teach in terms, if you're really trying to teach, communicate in terms that the other can understand. Don't just talk over the head to show how brilliant you are.
Yeah.
Because then there is no communication going on.
Yeah, you didn't do anything.
You did nothing except make yourself feel all puffed up. And then you say something like, well, what is he, an idiot? Yeah, he's your offspring. So what we're going to talk a little bit about, I guess we've got a little bit of time, is we're going to talk about the facial, reading the face, the eyes themselves. The eyes, the window of the soul, right? And we've got politicians that are so awesome at staring straight ahead because they don't want to give it away for people that can read body language. They don't want to give away the fact that they may not be telling the entire truth, or they may be a bit emotional in this one, or they may be creating some kind of a story. So they, and what they actually do is they'll even put a pen or a pencil in their hand, they've been taught, and stare at it while they're talking. That way they can't be giving it away, their actual intent subconsciously. So they learn that people know how to read body language. They know how to read faces. They know how to read eyes. So let me try to trick them.
Yeah.
So what we've got is, if you had a picture of a face and you're facing your face, moms, this is great for you because you can tell when your little dude's not quite telling the truth. If the eyes, when you ask him a question, dart up and to their right, your left, but their right, they're visually creating something. They're visually constructing something. That's what they're doing. They're creating some. Well, what happened? Well, let me see. Yeah, I saw Jimmy, and he. You're lying like a dog right now. You're lying like a rug. If you go to the right ear, if the eyes divert to the right ear, they're visually creating what they heard. It's a lie. And he said to me, he said, you're a bad person and your dad is terrible and I don't like your dad. Yeah, it's a lie from the pit of hell. And then if your eyes divert down and to the right, you're down and to the right, you're creating some kind of an emotion. You see this on TV sometimes when they catch one of those mothers that have drowned their kid. I am so sad. I didn't know. And I they're creating it. It's a lie. They're not sad. It was premeditated. They meant to hurt the kid. And you know that when you look at a face and you see their eyes dart down to the right.
Down to their right and your left.
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, when it goes up and to the left, the eyes go up and to the left, visually recalling something. That's what cops are looking at. They know facial expression. They're watching you. So what happened? And if you go up and to the left, they know you're remembering what happened. You're recalling what that you saw. If you go to the left ear, they know you're remembering what you heard. You're not creating something. You're remembering what you heard. And then if you go, they go down and to the left, they're actually remembering an emotion. They're remembering a feeling that they had, something that they actually felt kind of passionate about. So, and that's a great way to tell, is the feeling earnest? Are they really feeling what they're feeling, or are the eyes on looking at down and to the right, which they're making up a feeling?
Yeah.
Because it's probably best to their best efforts to make up some kind of, or their best benefit to make up some kind of a feeling.
And I always use the, for myself, I look at it from my point of view because I'm always trying to read the other person, right? So I remember right is recall. If they're looking to my right, then it's always recall.
That's correct. If they're looking to your right, their left, they're recalling. That's correct.
All recall. Whether if they're looking up, then it's visual, side, audio, down, emotional, recall.
Correct. That's correct. And this, we'll put this up on our Facebook page. We'll put this picture up on our Facebook page to help you mothers. My wife will actually put it up, and she's got it up on a cabinet. And so when she asks my son something, she'll be looking at a picture as she's asking him questions, watching where his eyes go, and the poor kid hasn't got a chance. So he might as well just go ahead and tell the truth, because it's so much easier to tell the truth and get to whacked for what you did and for lying on top of that.
Who developed this technique?
You know what? I don't know that answer, and I didn't.
I thought it was the FBI.
Oh, this is this. You're exactly right. I'm sorry. This is the FBI's that they utilize, and this is one that my cousin, Nick Castellano, FBI special agent, sent me as a way to read, and he said you might want to use this in your sales thing on how to help increase your sales in your company. So this one technique. But you're exactly right. It was Federal Bureau of Investigation. So we've only got about 30 seconds left, so we're going to have to wind this up. We're going to pick up next week with another tool that we've got on how to find out what someone's really going through, because pain is a great motivator for sales or for receiving information. So we're going to learn some questions to ask that will really help you get to the bottom of some things, and this is in all aspects of your life. So we appreciate your time today. Thank you very much. And we can't wait to hear from your questions and hear from you next week. Bye-bye.
Ooh, Tanager.
Thanks for listening to Awaken the Sleeper. Please join your host, Dr. Nick Castellano, again next week, Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel. Until then, don't believe everything you see, hear, or read. No, question it.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.